Welcome to another episode of Checkers or Wreckers podcast with Dega Davey and the Nose. It's Daytona week, or more like it was Daytona week. I went. It was actually pretty fun. We got to talk about it. Racing in a pandemic. What's it like? Who's wearing masks? Who's not? Who really cares? Got to talk about race breakdown, truck gateway, Xfinity at Daytona night race, Cup, same thing, night race Daytona. Got to go over who won our picks last week. Driving topics. Creed, title contender. Is he a dick? Is he not for running over Todd Gilliland? Who was wrong for the Xfinity race? Team Allmendinger or Team Chastain? Reddick, cuck or hero? Do we think William Byron is still a bust? Is he for real going to the playoffs and forward? Jimmy Johnson, will he win without the pressure now? And should we return to Daytona for the cutoff race? Silly season updates. SHR. And the usual, Richard Petty Motorsports, playoff preview, who's out at round of 12, what to watch for at Darlington, favorite throwback schemes, and who will win this weekend at Darlington, pack show, little tiny show, really, under an hour for the first time in a while. Other than that, hammer down, baby, and for the first time ever, take us away, Dale Jr.
You put it all on the line, it's Checkers or Wreckers.
Anyone that does not like, no, correct, check that, like Jim Rome, love super speedway racing is an absolute cuck and dead to me at this point. I love Talladega and I love Daytona. The night race is like night and day. It's like when they turned on the lights at Wrigley Field for the first time in, I think, 1988, and it just glowed and it was beautiful to watch the sparks fly, especially for me in person. You know, I went, it was awesome. And to see such a fantastic race, I don't care if people are like, oh, they didn't wreck. You don't need to wreck to have a good race. But you know what? They got their quota in towards the end. It tore up some cars, like Tony Stewart said, like back in the day at Talladega, Demolition Derby. And I got my fill. Overall, I thought it was a fantastic weekend. And I thought it epitomized what this podcast is all about. Checkers or fucking wreckers. You're either wrecking to try to win, or winning trying to wreck. That's the way it seemed, especially for Tyler Reddick at some points, and especially for some of our guys that we know are going to wreck. But otherwise, a perfect weekend.
Great racing all across the board, all series, not just Cup. Let's be fair, all series. But Noah, you were there. I wasn't. I was at work with my dick in my hand, per usual. So Noah, tell us, how was Daytona in person? In a pandemic.
All right. So first of all, I stay at the Red Roof Inn in Palm Coast, Florida, which is about 30 minutes north, actually, where my ex-girlfriend used to live, funny enough. And the hotel room was about what I expected. But the racing in that pandemic did not feel any different. Like me going to the actual racetrack did not feel any different than going to Talladega. Because first of all, when JP and I and everybody else go to Talladega, we're not going and hugging and making out people in the stands. We're usually by ourselves, sitting in the very front row, not worried about what's going on around us, not usually getting too close to anybody in the first place, because we're usually wearing our fuck Kyle Busch stuff and we stink. We're not going around people. The closest I got to somebody was whenever I was in the pisser, and the guy walked way too close to me. I almost had to deck him in the face, and I realized Kyle Busch fans walk really close to the people in the urinals. I don't know what that says about them or about Kyle Busch himself, but that's just the nature of the beast at NASCAR races, especially when there's a pissing trough. They'll stand right next to you and say, nice watch, buddy. But the racing felt normal. The only thing that didn't feel normal was I could not bring my own cooler. So I had a clear backpack. And every time I put ice in there, it would just drain right out of it because it's not a cooler. And I would just have like lukewarm to slightly chilled Coca-Colas because I had to drive. And then Cecilia just drank like piss warm natty seltzers. But the racing felt normal. It felt so normal to me. I was sitting in the restart zone right in front of Joey Logano's pit stall at the very beginning of pit road. So I got to see everybody when they wrecked out of turn four. They all landed right in front of me. but not close enough where I could tell him to fuck you. And I was going to tell Ryan Newman to fuck off because I really don't like Ryan Newman, but I feel bad for him. So I felt good because he was on right side up this time with a guaranteed rate, because the only thing guaranteed about Ryan Newman is he's going to fucking wreck at Daytona nowadays. Other than that, everybody wore their mask when they got up and moved around. I didn't see any anti-maskers. I saw a lot of Jesus freaks yelling at me, telling I was going to go to hell, and I told him, see you there. But other than that, it wasn't that different. And it was my first points-paying race. I went to the Busch Clash earlier this year. First points-paying race, Daytona. And it just feels like a more civilized version of Talladega. But whenever Kyle Busch wrecked right in front of us, or like we saw him going by, everyone still booing. Fuck Kyle Busch. The chants weren't as loud, but there were still people chanting with me when I yelled, and there were still a lot of middle fingers. So other than that, it felt normal. And I feel like whenever I go to the racetrack with pandemic, I'm always going to say other than that, because the giant elephant in the room. But other than that, I passed the temperature check, and I was fine.
Good deal. Good deal. I'm glad you went. Thank you for rubbing it in my face there. Appreciate that. Moving on. We got to talk about a lot of racing. We had three big races go on this past weekend. Two at Daytona and one at WWT Raceway. So we're going to move on to the trucks, break it down by series. Big notable finishes for the truck series. We had Sheldon Creed doing some digging himself to the lead there. Ultimately won the race. Brett Moffitt coming in second. Sam Mayer, we haven't heard a lot about him. Got fourth on the day. Good finish for him. We'll talk about later on how much of a dick he is. And then Todd Gilliland. People going to be feeling sorry for him. Finishing 24th. Could have won the race. Who knows? He didn't. Moving on.
All right. So, same Todd Gilliland that told his damn owner to stay in his fucking motorhome. Todd Gilliland, cuck. Labeled here, right here, cuck. Shouldn't be in the front of... Should not be in the front row motorsports truck, undeserving to me. So going into Xfinity, which I would say arguably is one of the most exciting races of the weekend, or obviously other than Cup, because everybody cares about Cup, most exciting because of the last lap drama. Justin Haley won. He kind of got handed it to him, but a great finish from Greg Gaulding. I wouldn't say he's a friend of the show, but I think he's one cool dude. Just because, like, the stuff that he puts up. I saw him finish second Tyler Reddick in person last spring at Talladega. Our boy Chase Briscoe, third. Some people say he's undeserving. Riley Herbst, fourth. Oh, man. Brandon Jones, 13th. AJ Allmendinger, 15th. Mike Harmon, 17th. He decided to race today. Get his fat ass in there. Myatt Snyder, Ricky Sandhouse Jr. of Xfinity, 19th. And to really close it all out, my boy Gragson, 31st, Justin Allgaier, 29th. And we had all four Junior Motorsports cars be involved in something. But on the Cup, JP, give me some notable finishes.
Going to the Cup Series, Billy Byron getting his first win. That's the biggest takeaway of anything. You had Chase, Denny, Truex, and our boy Moneybags, Bubba Wallace, finishing out the top five. Let's not forget Brendan Gaughan as well. I hope he's going to have enough owner points to go in and race at Talladega when we're there in person next month, or October. But Brendan Gaughan, man, got eighth place. He could have fucked around and won the whole thing. And to close it all out, Matt DiBurrito getting 12th place. Not a big finish, but what it does symbolize is his entrance into the playoffs for the first time ever, getting the last closing spot in there. Everything beyond that, you wrecked out trying to win.
So I thought it was fantastic. I wanted Jimmy to get in. Everybody wanted Jimmy in, and they wanted Jimmy into Benedetto with 15 and 16. That's what most people were saying at the racetrack. But whenever you had the biggest crowd noise, and there was like 50,000 people there, limited capacity at Daytona, everybody cheering for Jimmy. People stood up when he crashed. Cecilia screamed with crying bloody murder. People were crying all around us. Actual tears for Jimmy Johnson. But whenever they fixed the car and did not give up, it was fantastic to see. But in terms of P6, pick winners. We did forget to do trucks because I totally forgot about trucks going to Gateway this past weekend. But Creed won, whatever. JP and I both win for that. Whatever. He's ugly as hell, and the beautiful Zane Smith did not win, so I don't care. So I picked Ross and Gregson. JP, who did you pick?
I had Mr. Chase Briscoe and Austin Cindric because I was a cuck last week. I got mad when you took my picks.
So that puts JP as the Xfinity winner because Briscoe finished third. Cindric wrecked out, and Ross and Gregson both did not finish better than that. Obviously, Gregson wrecking out, Ross wrecking the last lap. Then going on to Cup, I picked Ryan Blaney and Ryan Newman, double Ryan.
Mm. Ouch. Your boy had Moneybags Bubba Wallace and Clint Bowyer. And with Bubba being number five, I'll take that W.
Yeah, Blaney didn't have a huge day. He was just kind of quiet. He had a really good paint scheme. And obviously Newman wrecked out. Clint wrecked out towards the end. All right, so now some driving topics for this week. We had a big packed week, three races, two different cities. What we got on our mind this week, JP?
First one that's pressing. We'll start from the lower tier series. We'll work our way up. Do we like the monster that Sheldon Creed has become? Now, granted, he's a championship contender. He has two wins now. He's right up there with Zane Smith and Grant Enfinger. What are we thinking, Noah? What's your thoughts?
The monster that he has become, I'm a big fan of. People just being dicks to each other on the racetrack, especially when it's in the lower series when it almost doesn't even matter. I like it because it's like the ugly people lash out. And Sheldon Creed is one like this. He looks like the real Pillsbury Doughboy, not Austin Hill. He looks like a mullet. He needs to be sponsored by sports clubs. He needs to go get his ass hit to the hair, the barber. But the monster he's become, he's winning races, and it's just shocking to me that he's winning. That puts him at three wins because he has Kentucky Rain, Daytona Road Course, and now this one. So he's like leading the title chase right now. I can't believe it, but I love the fact that we have a new title contender, and I love somebody that is not afraid to put his nose to the bumper of one, especially Todd Gilliland, and put him into place because he doesn't come from daddy's money. His dad wasn't that good in the Cup Series, got booted from his ride. But you know what? His son isn't good either. And you shouldn't be yelling at your owner, especially last year. That's why you're getting fucking moved out of the way, Todd. But Creed, I don't like the way he looks, but I like the way he races.
Hey, look, I'm going to give a little bit of fairness here to Todd Gilliland. Look, you should never say that you're, staying your fucking motorhome to your team owner. But when your team owner is Kyle Busch, I'm going to give you a pass on that. I'm going to give you a big pass. That's okay. That's all right. You know, if it's Kyle Busch or Joe Gibbs, which is, kind of one of the same in the trucks, fair game. But you're right. He does come from daddy's money. He doesn't necessarily deserve that ride that he's in. He hasn't proved anything in top-tier equipment. And it sucks that he got dicked out of that position, and ended up in his truck got banged up a little bit, finished 24th on the day. I get it. He has every right to be mad. But he ain't a championship contender. He had one good race going. But the real man, Sheldon Creed, came in, took it away. I look at that as more of a racing incident than I do him becoming a monster. That's the way I look at it. Sheldon Creed hasn't necessarily dicked anybody too bad in the previous races this season, but he's not afraid to put the front bumper to the back bumper or slide up there and get your ass out the way to get a win. So, not minding it.
So, a lot of people have a very strong opinion. Daniel Trotta was cussing on SiriusXM today, talking about the incident between AJ Allmendinger and Ross Chastain at the end of the Xfinity race. I was not there. Obviously, they didn't have any fans there for that race. I was watching TV back home. I was surprised, but I definitely wasn't disappointed. I loved the move. If you didn't see it for whatever reason, I don't know why you're listening to the podcast, but you need to watch the damn races, especially the last lap. AJ Allmendinger going to turn three. Ross Chastain behind him. Ross sends it in a little bit below him, And in my opinion, Allmendinger turns down to try to block him, blocks a little bit late, and turns himself and Ross into the wall, going from what was a 1-2-3 finish for Colic, racing him at Colic, into just Justin Haley winning and then the rest of them just being back in the pack. That's just my opinion, though. And I think that it was definitely not Ross's fault. And everybody's giving a lot of shit to Ross, like a dirty driver, shouldn't be in that ride. Like all these Ross haters coming out of nowhere. I'm like, dude, y'all didn't even like AJ Allmendinger when he was in the Cup Series. I'm a big Allmendinger guy. But all of a sudden, all these Ross guys, like the Ross haters come out. AJ Allmendinger's king because he won Atlanta. That's cool. But I think that Allmendinger turned down on him. I don't think it's Ross's fault. But what do you think? Who was in the wrong for you, JP, when you're watching the race?
My take on the last lap between those two guys is AJ Allmendinger, I think, made the mistake of thinking Ross is going to help him win that race. Now, I will say, Colic did probably the best job of any series, across all series, as a team that actually worked together. JR Motorsports came in a close second until Brennan Jones decide to be a cuck and move himself in front of Chase Briscoe and wreck that whole team. But AJ Allmendinger, he did not take fault for that. Ross Chastain right away took blame and owned up. And I don't think he should have done that, because that's racing. When you're going for it, as every driver's going to tell you, no one's racing to finish second. As Ross said, what do you want me to do? Come out here and finish second place? Get the fuck out of here. So I fully support everything that happened, what he did. I see both sides of it, and I am not a lesser fan of either one for what happened. It was good. I don't want to sit there and watch a race just to see a guy finish second. I didn't want to see Ross just push Allmendinger to the win. I don't want to see that. I want to see these guys fight for it, and that's what we got.
It's just a matter of, to me, with people saying that Ross should just toe the company line, finish second. AJ's not running for the fucking playoffs. Like, he's not running for the fucking playoffs. So whenever Ross sends it in there, that is him saying, I want to cement my spot to the playoffs. Because they still have like two or three races until the playoffs. No, they have four races until the playoffs after Daytona. So Ross still needs to win a race this season. He has only won, I think, like two races in Xfinity, maybe, I think, one at Daytona last year. And so he's still unproven. So a lot of people come out saying, oh, he's so good, he's so good. No, he just races a lot. His biggest thing is that he just kind of sits there sometimes. He doesn't take the fucking fish out of the water whenever it's time to go fishing. So whenever AJ turned down on him and he says, oh, it was my fault. No, I do not blame Ross at all. If Ross wouldn't have went for that win, I would have become less a fan of Ross. I mean, like, yeah, just being a bitch.
Absolutely.
Because you got to go for the win. Like, if I'm sitting in second, I'm not going to ride second to JP, especially when it's my money, my sponsor on the line. I don't care if JP is my best friend and teammate. We got to go for the win. And JP and AJ both have to understand that's what the racing is. And AJ can be pissed all he wants. I don't give a shit. He looked really mad in the post-race interview. He was like steaming from the fucking ears, but he still towed the company line like, oh, I understand. No. You don't understand if you're mad about it. I understand you're mad because you're wrecked, but like, dude, that's racing. This is checkers or fucking wreckers.
He got the ladder. He got the ladder of that phrase, and that's the way it goes. But again, doesn't mean it was a bad performance. Colic Racing still had a really strong day. AJ, hold your fucking head up high. And don't block so damn aggressively next time. Let him by. Side draft. Let him side draft you guys into the finish. All right? That would have been even cooler. What if he let Ross go by and side draft him to the finish line? And maybe Justin Haley, that'll give him time to catch up and be a three-way finish. That would have been pretty cool. But he'll get him next time. Moving on. Tyler Reddick, who in my opinion should be the real rookie of the year, not Cole Custer. That's just my hot take there. But Reddick, for what he did with that, as people are referring to as a slide job, is he a cuck or is he a hero?
Okay, so a lot of people with SiriusXM that I listen to all the time, 24/7, and Twitter and all this other shit that you and I see all the time now that we do this podcast. Everyone's talking about a couple things. Kyle Busch and Ryan Newman after the wreck, we're talking about he beat their own of the sport basically for this shit. They're just roasting him. I thought he was doing a good thing. But in the big scheme of things, that was a cuck move to cut up in front of Kyle. As much as we don't like Kyle Busch in this podcast, to cut up in front of Kyle, Kyle had to slow down dramatically and then cause an accordion effect to wreck everybody else. So if Tyler Reddick would have went up there and not hit the wall or gone close to the wall to make everybody else hit the wall, hero. But because he hit it, cuck. Now, another thing about Tyler Reddick is that everyone's at the same time as everybody's talking about he should be thrown out of the sport. There's a big collection of people saying, leave him alone. He made one mistake. He owned up to it. He's a man. Oh, my God. And then you have people like Quinn Houff, who wrecks two cars at Texas, not 10 cars at Daytona, not doing something super Now, Quinn did make a really aggressive move, but didn't do it in front of the whole fucking field and cause a wreck. And they're talking about Quinn Houff, there needs to be restrictions. We need to have a better ladder system. Quinn Houff, fuck you, and Starcom Racing. Those same people are like, give Tyler Reddick, just give him a break because he's a good driver. He just needs time. He owned up to his mistakes. Yeah, rookies make mistakes. I just don't understand the double standard to me. But what do you think, cuck or hero?
I'm going to go ahead and say a partial hero. I don't think it's a cuck. Look, what he did, it was still a racing incident. If he was a cuck, I would look at it as if he did it on purpose. Or if he did it to, you know, try to get back at somebody and it cost somebody else their race. I don't think it was a cuck move. He was going way too fast. And look, this all boils back to Eric Jones. If anything, Eric Jones is a cuck. He was pushing Reddick way too hard towards the front, gave Reddick no choice but to dive down low on older tires, and he had no choice but to slide up the track. It happens. So in reality, Kyle Busch's teammate, the guy who was the most mad about that, him and Newman, it was Kyle Busch's own teammate that gave Reddick that run, that gave him nowhere to go when he slid up into the wall. So was it a bad mistake? Should he have lifted to keep control of the car? Yes, that's obvious. That's me Monday quarterbacking that. That's duh, because we saw the results. But the flack that he got afterwards, total agreeance. I think it's bullshit. You're telling me he should be pulled from the sport for trying to race for a win? Get the fuck out of here. He wasn't trying to come down pit road. He didn't ruin anybody's day for making a dumb racing mistake. Like, oh, I ran out of gas, or I rubbed my tire too wrong by myself. You know, no one's around me because I can't get the car out of the wall. No, you got pushed down there, slid up a little bit too far, and ruined a lot of guys' days. But, you know, the thing that made me the most mad was Ryan Newman's comment afterwards in his interview. Quote, he ran out of talent. And also mentioned, he references two Xfinity races or two Xfinity championships that he has, but yet he still comes in the Cup Series and pulls this shit. Well, Newman, I got a word for you. Where the fuck are your championships? And the trucks and Xfinity and the Cup, where the fuck are your championships? They're nowhere in sight. This is his rookie season. He's done better than any rookie has in lesser equipment. His equipment's damn near the equivalent of Christopher Bell's. The only reason Cole Custer got that win, it was a luck win in the last lap at Kentucky. A track that had no tire wear and was essentially a one-lane track. He was the right place at the right time. So I think Reddick is a bit of a hero because he was going for the win. That's all I got to say about that.
So I agree with you on Ryan Newman. The only thing he has is the 1999 USAC Championship, which he's actually throwing back to at Darlington. Other than that, the only thing he has to hang on is the time that he won the 2008 Daytona 500 and passed Tony Stewart. and then all those flips before that and all the DNS before that, and Jeremy Mayfield outrunning him to the point, or Jeremy Mayfield outrunning the car before he got there, and then Newman kind of turning into a shit show with someone like Kurt Busch right there with him doing moderately better than him in what was really bad equipment back then. I mean, you had Brendan Gaughan as a full-time driver 2003 in the 77. So it's not like Ryan Newman has run out of talent a long, long time ago, especially. Yeah, he brings veteran expertise, but that comment pissed me off. But speaking of people running out of talent, we've gone on this podcast on record saying Billy Byron's going to be replaced, bust. It happens every fucking time, JP. We say, this guy sucks. Next week he goes back and he fucking wins the race, or he like makes the playoffs. Is he still a bust now that he's won, or is he for real?
Look, I've gotten a lot of flack for this already on our Checkers or Wreckers social media account on Instagram. Yes, he is a bust. And I got in an argument with somebody, and he was arguing that, well, look, Billy Byron didn't come into the sport until he was 16 years old, and he's done great for his background and everything. I said, look, man, I don't give a fuck about his background. I don't give a fuck if he started racing, if his first time in a cup car was 3 years ago, like our first time racing any car was 3 years ago. I don't fucking care. That's irrelevant. This is a business, and he is in one of the best teams in the best equipment money can buy in the NASCAR Cup Series, and he's finally got his first win at a track that is quoted as the equalizer and anyone's race. Just keep your car in the race and you will have guaranteed good results. Yes, he got a win. Is he a bust? Absolutely. I don't see Billy Byron doing anything in these playoffs. I really don't. And I don't see him doing anything next year or the years after that. I don't see anything from him. So, granted, he's done great for a guy who's entered the sport at a very, very old age compared to most other guys who've been racing since they were 3 or 4 years old. I get that part. But I don't fucking care. That's not going to produce wins. If you're not winning, if you're not keeping your sponsors happy, going out there being competitive for a championship, doesn't fucking matter. So, yes, as far as I'm concerned, he is still a bust. Now, his performance in the playoffs leading up to this in the next several weeks might change my mind or might have me reevaluate. But until then, it's a bust.
I think that Billy B is not a bust. And I'm not trying to be contrarian for the podcast, being a cuck against JP. I get it. I understand all of your points. Very educated things that you're saying there. But I think this is a turning point in his career. At Dover, him and Knaus were at each other's fucking throats. I thought they were going to fucking get out of the car and fight. And then they came back and did a top five, top 10 finish at Dover, the second one. I was like, wow, they're really putting something special together. And they come out there and they win at Daytona. Chad Knaus' first win since Dover 2017 with Jimmy Johnson. First win without Jimmy Johnson. I think it's like him and Jeff Gordon are like the same age whenever they won the first race, within 24 days of each other, which is pretty cool, 24 days. Billy Byron led 24 laps at the last race of Daytona. So everything's like manifest destiny. I don't think that he's a bust. I think for these playoffs, he's for real. And I think going forward, he's for real. He's got the monkey on his back. Chase isn't a bust to me. It took Chase 99 races to get his first one and Byron 98 races. So I don't think he's a bust. I just think he needed time and he's finally got the monkey off his back. And I think if he wins any race in the playoffs while he's still in it, he's a title contender after that. So if he wins two races total this season, title contender. So where do we go from there? He's young. He's like my age. I just think he's a cool guy.
Not going to hate on his personality. Billy Byron, I'm still figuring him out as far as personality goes. Don't hate him. Certainly don't love him. But it's one of those things. We'll have to see.
We'll have to see.
But moving on, one notable guy, the most notable guy that's out of the playoffs as of Saturday night is Jimmy Johnson. So with him confirmed being out now, do we think that Jimmy Johnson is going to win a race from here on out? What do you think?
Well, all right, so here we go. Cecilia, shout out to Cecilia, my girlfriend. She says he's not going to win a race. She's the biggest Jimmy Johnson fan I know. Said he's not going to win a race because that pressure was keeping him going. I don't subscribe to that notion. I think now that there's no pressure, I think he's going to win. I think he has a potential winning three races. I think he's going to win three races in the playoffs. And I think it's going to be a real fucking shame because he went in three races and everybody's going to say, oh, but if he would have been in the playoffs, he would have won the championship. And yeah, that's kind of what happened to Tony Stewart. I think 2007, he missed the playoffs back when it was just 10, missed the chase. And everybody was talking about, because he won like three races in the chase, but he wasn't in the chase. And everybody says, oh, what if? And everybody's going to follow that. What if? Jimmy's not coming back. Whoever fucking thinks that, he's not coming back to full-time cup. He's already confirmed a Dale Jr. download last week or 2 weeks ago. His goal is to run the road course schedule for IndyCar or even Formula One or anything like that. But it's probably going to be IndyCar, and he's already talking to teams. And he might even run a few races with JRM in the Xfinity car. But he says he's going to do that IndyCar deal for 2 years he wants to do. In his second year, he might consider doing the Indy 500. So he's done with Cup. He has nothing left to give the sport. He's done fantastic. But I think he's going to win three.
You think he's going to win three races?
Three races. He might even win the fucking last one just to tell everybody, fuck you.
Oh, man. I'm going to sound like the biggest asshole here.
Boo.
Because I don't think Jimmy Johnson will win a race, period, this season. I don't think it's going to go out like that. I hope to God that I'm wrong, but as we've learned in this podcast, I'm usually not. So, I don't think he's going to do it. Pressure or no pressure, I don't think it has anything to do with it. With him, he's shown some, as they call, flashes of red this season. But I don't know that he's going to be able to seal the deal at these tracks. I don't know. But if he does, I pray to God it's at Talladega where we can see it in person. That would be the coolest thing ever. But Jimmy Johnson, he just hasn't shown enough to me this season that he's a real true threat going into these next 10 races.
One question somebody asked me the other day, and I think it was my dad. He said, what happened to Jimmy Johnson? Why didn't he win? I mean, there are a lot of reasons why, but I think mostly it has to do with the Chevy body going through two new bodies in 3 years where you don't have enough time. He doesn't have testing anymore where he can go out there and test with Chad for like the whole fucking weekend and miss every single birthday of their kids' lives. He doesn't have all that. He doesn't even have practice qualifying this year. So it's a lot of things going on. So I don't think he's running out of talent. I just think that there's just a whole bunch of things that are not going his way. And everybody's been saying, come back, and he's not. But quick fire question, JP. Should we return to Daytona for the cutoff? Everyone is saying yes, yes, yes. And I heard one guy say on SiriusXM today, I hate Super Speedo Racing. I don't like the way they wreck. And I don't like because I feel bad for the owners. And everybody basically just laughed his ass off the station because, dude, you don't worry about the people with the big checkbooks. You worry about the fucking racing. Why are you worrying about that kind of stuff, dude? Come on, man. If you're listening, dude, get a hold of yourself. But, JP, should we return to Daytona for the cutoff race?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What I saw in Daytona, and what it I'm going to take a step further. There should be either three super speedway races before the playoffs or three super speedway races in the playoffs. Call me fucking crazy. I don't fucking care. I want five total super speedway races in a full NASCAR Cup Series season. I loved it. It was awesome. I think it's, why would you not want the great equalizer at the World Center of Racing to be the last race going into the playoffs. This is anyone's game. And I understand, I can see, you know, a driver complaining, well, look, we don't like this track because, you know, skill kind of goes out the window. Look, fuck you. You've had 20 some odd races to get yourself locked in on points. Several guys were locked in on points going into this race. Kyle Busch, Eric Almirola, Kurt Busch. These guys are locked and loaded. They're set in. So if it takes you until the very last lap at the last race going to the playoffs for you to secure yourself in, fuck you. You should have done better earlier in the season. You should have gotten a win. You should have gotten more consistent finishes. Fuck you. So I love it. Great idea. They should do it every single year.
I think that people that say there's no skill in super speedway racing, then if you have never obviously raced on iRacing, NASCAR Heat, any sort of video game, or even been in a car like on the interstate behind somebody else, like behind a big truck, you can feel the draft. If you don't know how to handle that draft, you don't know how to handle that the big runs and speeds and the bump drafting, then you won't win. Like William Byron managed the race very well, and everyone else managed the race very well. So if there is a lot of skill in super speedway, but the only thing that equalizes it is the fact that there's no like major engine thing being messed up. Everyone's in the draft. Everyone's almost got the same sort of car. So I think that people get mad about it, but at the same time, you shouldn't be pissed off about it, dude. This is what everybody wants. Everyone wants a NASCAR for 1 through 4 to have a chance. And that's exactly what Daytona does, especially with the last race. Now, a lot of people forget that you have to be in top 30 owner points to be in the playoffs. So Daniel Suarez, all those laps led, if he would have won, wouldn't have been in the playoffs, which would have been really sad. But after all of this being said, off the track news is still what's the juiciest gossip out there. JP, do we have any fucking silly season updates? I'm dying over here.
Yes, we do. And it's one that kind of came out of nowhere, completely unpredictable. The one thing that we've always said about SHR, we've been talking all this time, who's going to the 14? You know, who's going to be replacing what? What's the mix-up going to be? Is Briscoe getting moved up? The big news that came out today, and it was the last thing I ever would have predicted. It's not set in stone, but it's being rumored now by Mr. Greg Zipidelli, is that Stewart Haas Racing does not plan to make any changes to the driving lineup going in 2021. Big, big news. Noah, how are you taking that?
So, Clint Boyer has been fired, I think, 15,000 times by the fans out of his own ride for this entire season. But I think it's not a big surprise to me because Clint made the playoffs. You're going to fire the guy that just made the playoffs for you? They fired Danica from the 10 when she didn't make the playoffs. She was finishing 25th in owner points basically every year. So Stewart Haas is not one to just be flipping and flopping all the time. Daniel Suarez didn't make the playoffs. So, and he also didn't get a win. So they fired him. So it doesn't surprise me that if all four made the playoffs, all four being retained. And Chase Briscoe has not won the 7 or 8 races that he said he was going to do either yet. So obviously he needs some more time. This is his first full year in Xfinity. He still needs some work to go. I mean, he's a title contender right now, but I mean, there's some other guys emerging. Austin Cindric's still whipping his ass. He came out of nowhere and still just whipping his ass up and down the road. So I think it's a good move. And you, JP, are you surprised by this at all? Are you pissed? Or are you one of those guys that has fired Clint Boyer?
Yeah, I am huge on the fire Clint Boyer train. I love Clint Boyer. I love Clint Boyer. His personality. I mean, damn, we bumped into him ourselves on the Talladega Boulevard. You know, we're drinking beer. We were just as shit faced as he was. You know, bumping into him there when he was with Kyle Larson.
Boo.
But look, it's a business. And because you're in the playoffs, cool. Whoop-de-fucking-do. Look at what he's done this entire season. He's in the equipment that he's in. Now, look, I'm not saying Briscoe needs to go and replace him right away. I don't know who it could be. It could be Corey LaJoy. Maybe he's worth a look. I'm not going to put my finger on who should replace him, but what I will put my finger on is that he should be replaced. Because if you're making the playoffs every year, congratulations. That's like saying, hey, man, you're doing – if you finish 15th, 16th in the playoffs every single year, good. You're finishing right in the middle of the pack when your fucking teammates out there winning almost every race and is in the final four. So just because you're making the playoffs, who gives a fucking shit? Who cares? That means nothing. So if he's making the round of eight, making the final four every year, different argument. He's a championship contender. But just because you're in the round of 16 doesn't mean you're a championship contender. Tell me Cole Custer is a championship contender. Austin Dillon's a championship contender. Fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. So, yeah, I think it's a dumb move if true. Big if true, but big mistake if true.
So, for me, making the round of 16 barely is like going 9-7 in the NFL. You are barely making it, and you're usually going to be out during the wild card. Now, there are some people like the New York Giants where they go out there and run the table in 2-7 and beat the big, mighty Patriots. But if you constantly go 9-7, 8-8 every year, barely make the playoffs, barely out of it, and you still have Hasse and C on your car, I don't think you should have a fucking ride. In the world of this is all about money, why are the owners still paying out money like that to sponsor the car? If Clint's so popular, he should have his own money coming in. Yeah, he's got Rush Truck Centers. Yeah, he's got One Cure. Yeah, Mobile One is sponsoring the team. But he doesn't have a whole bunch going towards him, which surprises me. Because I love Clint Bowyer. I loved him when he was at Michael Walter Racing. I liked him before that at Richard Childress. But it's just a matter of, dude, you got to bring sponsorship. Got to perform on the big stage. Now, he had a good year a couple years ago. He had a great year in 2012 whenever he finished second to Brad Keselowski, but still, got to have performance. Another season, silly season update, Andrew Murstein, RPM owner, says a big announcement is coming very soon and that there are potential prospective investors coming from the NASCAR world, one of them, and the music industry. Now, this big announcement could be driver lineup, could be another one. Denny Hamlin, they did confirm that Toyota and Denny Hamlin are thinking about investing, but it's just a matter of when he will. He might do it later. He might do it now. I don't know. He hasn't said anything about Gibbs, but I'm not one. I don't even know who would want to NASCAR world. Michael Jordan already said he didn't want to. He's not investing, but maybe it could be Dr. Dre. Any thoughts, JP?
I'm just waiting for the damn announcement to come through. You know, Bubba Wallace and RPM had stated in the beginning of August to late July that they were going to have the announcement secured, or a decision was going to be made. Would be a better way of saying it. A decision was going to be made by mid-August. Here we are, late August. By the time this thing's published, we'll be, you know, going to September 1st. So my question is, when we know it's coming soon, I think where's he going to go? You know, this is the biggest news in NASCAR. When this gets announced, it's going to be the biggest news that's out there. You know, whether Clint Bowyer will stay or not will be second to that, or whether Chase Briscoe gets clicked up or not, or whether, you know, where's Corey LaJoy going to go? That's all going to come second to when this announcement's made. And I got a feeling that we're going to know now that the playoff picture has been set. We know that he's out and the sponsorships are locked in for going into next year. I think the dust has settled. And I'm ready for a decision to be made. Do I need to get more invested in the 43 car? Or am I going to be a new fan of another car? I don't know.
Well, I'm waiting on buying my 124 Bubba car until I find out what's going on. But I think Big Bucks Bubba is going to stay at the 43. That's just my opinion. But going on, we have playoffs, baby! I'm ready for the playoffs, and it's kind of like that old meme. Playoffs, playoffs, we're finally here. 26 races later, we are here. JP, anything about playoffs you want to talk about?
Yes, baby. The time has ran out. Our field of 16 is set. Going into it, Got some guys who made it to the last second with Dibby and Billy Byron locking themselves in. And Boyer not ruining his day, so he remains locked in. But we have a race going into Darlington. Is our very first race going into the round of 12. We also have other tracks like the Roval, Dega. Obviously, we're going to end the whole thing at Phoenix. So a lot of unique tracks we're going to here. But the big question is going to be, we have a brand new bubble now. People are saying, well, the bubble's over now. No, it's not. We have a new, brand new bubble around the 12th place position and playoff points. So, Noah, I got a question for you. Who's out? Who are we not going to see advance on after three races?
Okay, first one's going to be out. It's going to probably be like 16th place. It's going to be Austin Dillon. Get the silver spoon right out of your mouth. Put it in the sand a little bit. Put it right back in your mouth.
Easy pick.
Austin Dillon's out. We can agree on that. Alex Bowman, 15th, is going to finish. Alex Bowman, he's not going to advance in the round of 12. And then I think Cole Custer is going to be the 14th seed out of the playoffs. Has not done anything for me. And then we have one more. I want it to be Kyle Busch. I'd love to be Kyle Busch or Logano, but those, I don't know. Those guys are, right now, Kyle Busch is two outside of it. I think Kurt's going to be out of it. I think Kurt's going to be he's not round of 12 material. I think Matty D is going to move above him, if anything. Do you have anything different from me?
I like your first two. I like your 16 and 15. I like Dillon. I like Custer getting out of the first round. I want to change things a little bit, though, with the 14th and 13th bubble picture. Bowman has shown spurts of speed. I'm going to keep him in. I'm going to keep him in for now. Go ahead and replace Bowman, different Hendrick car, put Billy Byron in there. Oh. I'm gonna keep the Billy Byron hate train going. Jeez, so if man. You're a Billy Byron fan out there, you know what? Yeah, I'll go fuck myself. I do it every night. I hear you. I get it. But put Billy Byron there. I'm not convinced. I'm not sold. So Daytona proved nothing to me. Moving on from there, and this is, you know, kind of hit or miss. But go ahead and put Kyle Busch there. His season has been in free fall ever since we returned to racing. Now, granted, he's had some spurts of speed. You know, he's got some good finishes here and there, but I don't think he's going to be able to. All it takes is one bad race. If he wrecks out one time, which he's been doing a lot lately, I don't see why that should stop. I don't see why it wouldn't continue from here on out. So, and it would be fantastic. So pin me down for Kyle Busch for that last bubble spot to be out.
Okay, so got the playoffs. Really can't do much with the playoffs. It just started. You know, just talk about early predictions, talk about how much we don't like people, and hopefully to God they don't make the round of 12. But we got a race this weekend. First race of the playoffs for Cup. And then we have Xfinity and Trucks there. Trucks, first time in a while there. I'm excited.
Throwback. 9 years. 9 years. They haven't been there. So it's going to be very exciting to see that.
So with all this going on, JP, what are your what to watch for overall for this weekend at Darlington, South Carolina?
Darlington, just like Daytona, it's a battle of attrition track. Who can keep their car the cleanest? So in our playoff contenders, who's gonna come out of the gate and lock themselves into the next round? That's going to be the first exciting thing to watch out for. You know, does the Harvick and Denny train continue now that we're back at a regular track and the playoffs have begun and the playing field's been somewhat leveled-ish? Still got a huge advantage. But again, the points have been kind of narrowed back in into a tighter cluster. So who's going to keep their car clean and who can put in a good race? That's what I want to see.
So for me, the what to watch for is obviously the Darlington stripe. Anytime you come off a corner at Darlington, the way it's shaped is like a fatter version of Gateway, or more like Gateway is a thinner version of Darlington if we're really thinking about it. But I think it's all about Darlington stripe, who's going to keep it the cleanest, who's not going to mess up mental errors. It's a one-lane track. If you've never raced on it, on iRacing or NASCAR Heat, it is a one-lane track that if you're not mad loose, then you are mad slow. So you have to be loose, loose fast, like they say in Days of Thunder. But you got to be careful because that car will just turn your ass right around. We're going to see that. We're probably going to see that a lot more with Xfinity and a lot more with truck with cars just turn right around. But with Cup, it's like you said, who's going to keep the cleanest? Who's going to make those beautiful paint seams look great? And who's not going to be fucking dumb about the race? Who's not going to pull a Jimmy Johnson at the end of stage one, wrecking off Chris Buescher? Who's not going to be the mental errors? Because this sets the tone for the rest of the round of 16. So go figure. We got Richmond after this, I think. And I don't remember the next one, but because it really doesn't matter right now. What matters is Darlington to me.
All right, moving on. Quick fire. Who's your favorite paint scheme? Throwback paint scheme. We're at Darlington. Classic throwback paint scheme. Which one you got on your mind?
So I really like Kevin Harvick's, but it's too close to the one he ran back in 2015. It just, or like 2016, whatever. It just looks, it's too close to it. It's a 1997 beer can. I'm going to go with Ryan Blaney's throwback to Paul Menard's 2003 Arca. It's with the rainbows and stuff. Looks pretty badass to me. Maytag's on the hood. Menard's is on the side panel. Who you got?
Paul Menard throwback. Cuck.
Hey, looks good.
Anywho, I got Jimmy Johnson. I love the appreciation on his car towards the two kings of the sport, Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt. The car looks sweet, and I see both cars in that one paint scheme. That's the really cool thing about it. And unlike a lot of throwback schemes, I mean, the side representing Dale Earnhardt actually looks like Dale Earnhardt's car, and the hood actually looks like one of Richard Petty's car back in the day. It's a cool car. It's Jimmy's car, man. Show some love.
I already pre-ordered both the cars, the Blaney and the Jimmy car. But now move on to the greatest part of this podcast, other than JP's beautiful voice, is the picks. And a little bit of side note, we have Greg Biffle in the field for the trucks. We have Trevor Bain just got confirmed for the number 40 Nice truck this weekend. And Denny Hamlin is in the 54 KBM car. So this is the way JP wanted to do it because he's been bragging about and bitching about winning so much. Winner gets first pick. JP, you won last week both. So go ahead, tell me who your main pick and your dark horse pick for trucks are.
All right. Main pick. Give me the handsome Zane Smith. He'll find a way. He'll get up there. Back up. Dark horse pick here. Trevor Bain. Look out for him. Back in the sport. Look, Greg Biffle did it when he came first race back. All right. Let's see if Trevor Bain can do it.
Dude, Trevor Bain been wrecking every fucking thing. That's why he left the sport. That's why he got replaced from Matt Kenseth midway through the season. Well, Roush when he was in the number 6. Okay. Jesus Christ.
I don't need a damn school lesson.
Okay. Right? Okay. I'm not trying to history lesson. I have Brett Moffitt and I have Denny Hamlin, dark horse pick. Denny, yes. Every time he runs a lower series of Darlington, he fucking wins. Right? He won when he's in Xfinity and then he wins sometimes when he's in Cup. I think he has like one or two Sun 500 wins. All right. JP, Xfinity, who's your picks?
Got to go with my boy Chase Briscoe. He's going to come back. He's going to start winning again. He's going to keep that 8-win mentality mindset. It's going to come back. He's going to take that win at Darlington, set the tone. However, for whatever reason, if he can't do it, no, I'm going to spare you and not pick Gragson. I'm going to go with Allgaier. I'm going to go with the short man Allgaier. I know you don't like him. I'm not a big Allgaier guy myself. All right, but put that short man. Put him up there. Who you got?
Okay, I got Noah Gragson, friend of the program. And I have Brandon Brown in the Janet Guthrie throwback Kelly Girl car. Big fan of Janet Guthrie. Big fan of Brandon Brown. Eventually, we'll get his ass on this show. Go Chanticleers, Coastal Carolina, that boy. He's from Virginia, though. Kind of surprising. All right. Cup, what you got?
Easy pick. Big Dick Harvick. Might get a lot of flack for that. Oh, the Harvick train. You're goddamn right, the Harvick train. Put me down for Kevin Harvick. He's gotten a win the past two visits. I'm not going Dickie Hamlin. I know he's gotten he was one of the guys that got the win in the past few races as well, but it ain't going to be him. Fuck Denny. Dark horse pick. I had him last week at Daytona, but I think we're going to see a little bit of something out of Clint Bowyer. He had a good showing past couple races. Maybe he could do something here. You know, maybe he'll get his head out of his ass and maybe like, man, I got to secure my ride for next year at SHR again. I'm in the playoffs. Let's not dick this up. Watch out for Bowyer. You know, neither one of us included him out in the round of 16. So that means he's got to do something. He could do it here. Noah, who you got?
Okay, Cup. Running out of time here. I have Chase Elliott, because last time we were there, he got fucking wrecked. All right, Kyle Busch. I'm still mad about that. I'm still fucking so heated. I still watch that fucking thing. I just want, if I had money, I'd break my TV. But I don't. Got to make some money. Go be able to break some more TVs. Dark horse pick. Christopher Bell. And I get it. Bob Levine is on Twitter. Bob Levine is on Twitter bitching every day about how much he hates NASCAR. And you know what? I don't give a fuck about Bob Levine right now because you know what? He's not an owner after this season. He can say all he wants about Twitter. NASCAR sucks. NASCAR sucks. NASCAR sucks. He didn't win. He didn't come close to winning for me other than with Matty D. And he fired Matt DiBenedetto. So the second he fired Matt DiBenedetto, Bob Levine, he should have sold that team right there because I'm not fucking watching the 95 to win. But you know what? I think Christopher Bell has a lot of potential in this car. I think Christopher Bell is very deserving, but I think Matt DiBenedetto would have won a whole bunch of races for me if he would have just been given the chance. You make Matty D cry, you piss me off. But other than that, it's been a great show this week. Great Daytona week. I wish I was going to the Southern 500 this weekend. The cookout, Southern 500. We've switched Bojangles. But as of right now, we're getting the haulers lined up. We're getting the engines tuned. Going to the first round of playoffs, Darlington. Heading down to South Carolina for the third time this season and the first time since the COVID break, and we're going with fans. I'm excited about that. JP, do you have anything else to say to your fans?
No. Let's do it.
All right, boys. It's time to drop the hammer. Great, great week this week, and special honorable mention to Noah Gragson for not only liking our post, but also liking JP's comment talking about having our babies. Great mustache, great Noah. Mullet. Hopefully you'll be back on. Hopefully you'll be on the show eventually, man. And always, checkers or wreckers. We'll see you next week.